Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
12 degrees. The temperature going to drop like a boulder tonight. Going to get down to a single-digit low of 4. The deep freeze is on at least for a couple of nights. 808 on CCO Sports to the Max. Eric in for Mike. Thanks for joining us on the 50,000-watt boomstick, your home for Minnesota Timberwolves basketball and Minnesota Twins baseball. T-Wolves will be on these airwaves again Saturday night when they travel to the Rose City of Portland, Oregon. They'll take on the Trailblazers. Minnesota's won 6 of 7. Impressive victory last night for the Timberwolves over Charlotte, 121-104. How about Karl-Anthony Towns? He was a monster, 35 points, 12 rebounds, so he got the double-double, a career-best 6 blocks. Andrew Wiggins woke up from a slumber, chipping in with a season-high 26. Also tied his season-high with 6 rebounds and 5 assists. So Minnesota has won 6 of 7. The Timberwolves played lockdown defense, limiting the Hornets to 40 points. On 31.3% shooting in the second half, Jeff Teague dished off a season-high 18 assists. Now the Timberwolves hit the road where they have not had a lot of success this season. They'll try to turn that around. Again, they take on the Trailblazers Saturday night. Then on Monday night, they take on the back-to-back NBA champion Golden State Warriors. Talk about a great sports night in Minnesota. You can watch the Vikings and the Seahawks, Monday Night Football, and then catch Timberwolves-Warriors as well. That'll start a little bit later than Seahawks-Vikes. I believe that kicks off at like 5:25 Pacific, 7:25 Central. We're going to hear from Latavius Murray of the Minnesota Vikings here in a few minutes. Vikes running back. If you want to give us a call, we do have some open phone lines, plenty of great topics. 651-989-9226, 651-989-9226. That is the Twin Cities Metro line, or 866-989-9226, 866-989-9226. That's the toll-free line. Susan Blanche is our studio coordinator. Edgar Linares in the newsroom. He's so good. I simply call him Cronkite. What do you think's going to happen in the Emerald City on Monday night? Minnesota 6-5-1 at Seattle 7-5. The Vikings finishing off a bi-coastal road trip. It began on the Atlantic seaboard on Sunday in Foxborough, a loss to the New England Patriots. It will culminate on Monday next to the Puget Sound, Pacific Ocean, all that good stuff with the Seattle Seahawks. Do you think the Vikes can go in and get a victory? It would be monumental if they do, as far as playoff hopes are concerned. The Timberwolves. Be truthful here. Are you stunned? Are you shocked that post-Jimmy Butler trade, they have done this well? They've now won 6 of 7. They are 13-12, so they're one game above sea level. Are you a believer? You take a look at the NBA's Western Conference, and there's a lot of gridlock. Just about every team except for Phoenix still in the mix. So your thoughts on the Timberwolves? How about the Minnesota Twins? Today they reach a deal with free agent second baseman Jonathan Scope. 1 year, $7.5 million deal. They also signed ex-New York Yankees infielder Ronald Torres. Now, Scope, 27 years old, was an all-star for the O's in 2017 when he hit 32 home runs with 105 RBI and a .292 batting average. Last season, though, a drop-off. Scope batted only .233. He had 21 home runs combined for Baltimore and Milwaukee. The Twins get him on a 1-year deal, and they're hoping that he will be motivated
and ready to go. He's we had Phil Miller on last hour, who covers the Twins for the Minneapolis Star Tribune, and he said that Scope's a lot like Brian Dozier. And it's ironic because Dozier, in the same boat, trying to find a team, a guy who's had great power numbers in the past. We know that well here in Minnesota, but he had a drop-off himself with the L.A. Dodgers. Did get to play in a World Series, but it doesn't look like Los Angeles wants him back. So we will see where Brian Dozier ends up. 651-989-9226 or 866-989-9226. Also, I'm kind of excited about this. I'll be going to Seattle for the Vikings-Seahawks game. And the NHL is coming to Seattle as well. That was made official a few days ago. They're going to get an expansion team at the renovated Key Arena. They're going to put $800 million into that building to renovate it. By comparison, Target Center's renovation was $150 million. So you can only imagine what $800 million is going to get you when it comes to a new venue. So there's a lot of talk about what the nickname of the team should be. I'm all in on the Seattle Sockeyes. Sockeye being a salmon. Salmon being popular up there in the Pacific Northwest. So my vote is Sockeyes, and I'm really hoping that I see a Seattle Sockeyes cap or hoodie or something, but it may be a little early for that. So we shall see, but they are getting hockey in Seattle, and I think the NBA will be coming soon. So that's too good of a market to not have the NBA and the NHL. All right, as I told you, I had a chance in Foxborough to catch up with one of the Minnesota Vikings running backs after that loss to the Patriots.
All right, Latavius Murray here in the Foxborough losing locker room today. Your takeaways on a tough game?
Yeah, I just think we beat ourselves. I think we had chances. Got close and just beat ourselves. But you have to be credited. You know, played a good game, but we had a chance, and then kind of once it got away from us, and kind of went downhill from there.
10-10 game in the third quarter. You have to be thinking at that point, hey, we can come in here and get a monstrous win on the road in New England.
Yeah, just like you said, we made plays to give ourselves a chance in third quarter tie game, and then again. Kind of had a little domino effect then once we, once they went and scored, and then we weren't able to, put some points on the board and turnovers. So, when you beat yourself, it's really hard to beat the other team.
Grade the running game from your standpoint. Dalvin certainly had some moments where he shined.
Yeah. I mean, I think we ran the ball really well. I don't know what the average is, but I know he had 9 for about 80. Running the ball, 9 yards a carry, very efficiently. We just gotta obviously have a better outcome in some other areas so we can get them dialed up some more and get them called some more. But I thought we ran the ball really well.
And you guys squandered a chance. I mean, Chicago lost, Carolina lost. You had an opportunity to gain some ground.
Yeah, it's not over, but obviously, this game was important because it was our next game, and we can't look at what other teams are doing. We got to take care of business and do whatever it is we have to do to win games. And today we didn't do that. So, it's not over. We still have everything out there in front of us right now, but there definitely just needs to be a sense of urgency on getting that done.
You've seen New England going back to your days with Oakland. What is it about the mystique of not only the Patriots' success, but especially here in Foxborough?
Yeah, it's a really good team, and then a team that plays really well at home. They rarely beat themselves, but even today, they had some penalties and made some mistakes that we could have capitalized on, but didn't. So, a combination of a good team and being a tough place to play, you know, you have to. I don't want to say Auburn's be perfect, but you know, you got to come in here and you've got to play well.
What are the challenges when you see a Bill Belichick defense? I mean, you're looking at it all week on tape. You know the guy's got the pedigree. What are the challenges?
Yeah, well, he's going to give you some different looks.
Here I come, sir.
Throw some, double coverages, over the top on those guys today. So again, we had opportunities. I thought even still, but just couldn't come up with some plays.
Now next Monday night, you've got a monster game in Seattle. Mm-hmm. A lot of playoff repercussions on that one. So you gotta forget about this one quickly, don't you?
Oh yeah. I mean, it's on to the next. And again, we gotta prepare and study and do all the things we need to do. And again, figure out a way to win. Can't make excuses and can't dwell on this, win or lose. And so Seattle's our next test. We're looking forward to it.
On a happier note, you want to give a shout out to Central Florida? They don't seem to get enough love, do they?
No, never. But they'll take care of business like they've been doing. So definitely shout out to them.
And that's Latavius Murray of the Vikings after the game Sunday in Foxborough. By the way, there's Thursday night football if you care in Nashville. Tennessee leading Jacksonville 13-2 in the second quarter. Also, the NFL has nominated 32 players for the Walter Payton Man of the Year Award. The Minnesota Viking nominee is tight end Kyle Rudolph. So congrats to Kyle on that. It's 8:18 on WCCO. Yeah, we're having a lot of fun on a Thursday night. 12 degrees, fair skies, wind out of the northwest at 8. Sports to the Max, Eric in for Mike. Thanks for tuning us in. If you're going to go outside tonight, probably a triple layer evening. Going to get down to 4. A single digit low of +4. How about that? The MLS Cup, that'll be Saturday. Atlanta United and the Portland Timbers, they will play for all the marbles in Major League Soccer. It's a 7 o'clock kickoff Central Time. Pretty amazing what Atlanta United has done. You think about the Vegas Golden Knights last season, their expansion year in the National Hockey League, and they go to the Stanley Cup Finals before losing to the Washington Capitals. Well, Atlanta United FC, this is year number 2 for that football club. And keep in mind, they came into the MLS the exact same time that Minnesota United did. So early on, Atlanta United are well ahead of Minnesota United. And Atlanta's become a bustling soccer hub. They average over 50,000 fans per match down there at the Mercedes-Benz facility, also home of the Falcons. And that's where they're going to play Super Bowl 53 in February. But who would have thunk it? Atlanta GA as the top city in the nation for soccer attendance? I mean, Atlanta's reputation as a sports town is soft. I mean, marshmallow soft. But they have taken a liking to soccer. Now, Minyu, they were 5th in MLS attendance this past season, averaging roughly over 23,000 fans per match. So, fans in this part of the world also showed up, and I'm sure they're going to be eager to go to the brand-new Allianz Field beginning in March. Now, soccer is becoming truly, it always has been the global sport, but some of these leagues are truly global. Now, the LA Times had an interesting article recently. 2/3 of the players in the English Premier League were born outside the United Kingdom. So you think about the EPL, top soccer league on planet Earth, and you think, oh, okay, it's a lot of folks from Europe. Well, not so. 2/3 of the players born outside of the UK. Meanwhile, the MLS has players from 72 countries, making it the most diverse league in any sport on the globe. LAFC had players from 19 countries and 5 continents on its inaugural team this season. So soccer is global, especially at the MLS level. And you see it a lot, too, if you go out and watch Minnesota United. They have players from all over the world. The Minnesota Twins make a move today. If you missed it, they reach a deal with free agent second baseman Jonathan Scope. It's a one-year, $7.5 million deal. The Twins also signed ex-New York Yankees infielder Ronald Torres. Scope is 27. He was an all-star for the Orioles in 2017 when he hit 32 home runs, knocked in 105, and batted 292. Now, last season, he tailed off a bit. Scope hit only 233, and he had 21 home runs combined for Baltimore and Milwaukee. But the Twins are hoping that Jonathan Scope can plug that gap at second base. They're still waiting for the youngster Nick Gordon to assume that position. Obviously, they had Logan Forsythe for part of the season in that Brian Dozier trade with the L.A. Dodgers. But big picture, I don't think Forsythe is the answer. And obviously, they didn't think Brian Dozier was because they dealt him right before the trade deadline. In fact, more than likely, the Minnesota Twins on the right side of the infield, when they open the season next March, March 28th to be exact, might be a little chilly at trendy Target Field that day. The first baseman could very well be C.J. Cron, who played with Tampa Bay this past season, and Jonathan Scope at second. A year ago, it was Joe Mauer and Brian Dozier. And the revolving door of change, it is always spinning in the world of sports, no doubt about it. Kudos to the Minnesota Gopher basketball team. The women win yesterday. Lindsey Whalen has that thing humming. The Gophers 75, Incarnate Word 39. Minnesota now 8-0. Gophers ranked 14th in the nation. And it's the third best start in program history. The Gophers once were 12-0 back in the 02-03 season, and they were 15-0 in the 03-04 campaign. By the way, Lindsey Whalen was on both of those teams. So magic touch as a player and early on, certainly as a coach. So the Gophers are rolling. Next stop, Beantown. They'll play Boston College 1 p.m. tip-off on Sunday in Boston. As for the Gopher men, they knock off 24th-ranked Nebraska last night at the Barn, 85-78. Amir Coffey blew up. He had a career-high 32 points, 6 rebounds, and 6 assists for the Gophers. Minnesota now will get ready for Arkansas State, a team that is 3-5. This is a non-conference game at the Barn on Saturday. The Gophers 7-2 overall, 1-1 in the Big Ten. And it was, I think, imperative that the Gophers got that victory over the Cornhuskers last night because they struggled on Sunday, to put it mildly, against the Ohio State Buckeyes. It is 8:30 right here on WCCO. We are cruising on a Thursday, 12 degrees outside, fair skies. Wind out of the northwest at 8. Eric in for Mike. Sports to the max. As always, having a blast. Vikes and Seahawks on Monday night from the Emerald City of Seattle, CenturyLink Field. And this one is a monster game. Minnesota 6-5-1, Seattle 7-5. Right now, the Vikings and Seahawks would be your NFC wildcard teams. But there's still a few games left. Teams like Carolina, Washington, Philadelphia, they believe they still have a shot. Dallas, if the Cowboys should stumble and don't win the NFC East, they would be in the wild card picture. Kirk Cousins on the Monday night stage, Russell Wilson for Seattle, and the Seattle Seahawks, a team that a lot of folks didn't think would be that good this season. I think you'd have to say the Seahawks are one of the bigger surprises so far in 2018. And you give a lot of credit to Wilson and the head coach, Pete Carroll. I mean, you look around the NFL and you'd say, okay, who are some of your surprises? Maybe the Houston Texans at 9-3, and they've won nine straight. They have a three-game lead over Indy in the AFC South. The Los Angeles Chargers, some people might say the Bolts are a surprise. They're 9-3, only a game back of Kansas City, and what a huge win for the Chargers Sunday night at Pittsburgh. The Chicago Bears, clearly, in the eyes of many, are overachieving at 8-4 on top of the NFC North with a semi-comfortable lead over Minnesota. But I would have to say Seattle's right there in the conversation when you talk about surprise teams in 2018. Now, where would you classify the Vikings? Here they are at 6-5-1. They still really don't have a signature win this season, in my opinion. They've kind of done what they should do against the subpar teams, with the exception of Buffalo. And that loss could haunt the Vikings. If they miss the playoffs by a half game, the Buffalo meltdown early in the season will be one they point to. So we'll see how it plays out Monday night. Vikings and Seahawks in the Emerald City of Seattle. The Timberwolves are also going to the Pacific Northwest. Next stop for Minnesota, a game against the Portland Trail Blazers on Saturday night. You'll hear it right here on CCO, your flagship home for Timberwolves basketball. And joining us now from the Timberwolves front office, he's the VP of basketball development, our good friend John Thomas, who once upon a time played for the Gophers and the T-Wolves. How you doing, John?
Excellent, Aaron. How are you?
Good. Great to have you on, as always. And you're certainly an upbeat guy, but I know right now you're even more positive than usual because the T-Wolves have won 6 of 7, and things are really trending up, aren't they?
Yeah, you know, it's pretty I guess the formula is pretty simple. You know, the thing that I'm seeing lately is just guys are smiling. They're having fun. Looks like they're covering for each other, and having been on a slew of teams, NBA overseas and what have you, the common denominator is that you got to play together, and it's no different than any basketball team, any business, any multi-person operation that you got to try to accomplish the same goal. So it's a lot of fun to see, and I think the fans are recognizing that, one, from a sports perspective, the players are giving effort, which is always great to see. But they're also entertaining, right? You know, a lot of fist pumps, a lot of high fives. The bench is having a blast. So, for sure, a lot of fun to see.
You know, and it's easy to say, hey, sports is a game. It should always be enjoyable. But as you know, John, if you're on a losing team or a situation where the locker room is toxic or you just don't like going to work, even though it's a game, it can become a job, can it?
Yeah. I mean, look at the parallels of the business world, and that's something that I've learned in my time since transitioning over to the real world, if you will, is that you don't like coming to work with people that aren't aligned with, first and foremost, who you are, but then secondly, from an organizational perspective, and it's no different on the basketball court. It's sometimes in situations where guys have contract years or you know, certain players aren't getting enough playing time or just overall they're not aligned with what the mission is of the team. You know, every single team has one objective, one goal, and that's to win games. But the question is, and the differentiator around it all is how and why do certain teams do what they do to ultimately hit that objective?
What, John, are the Timberwolves doing defensively now that they weren't doing earlier in the season? I mean, they are locking teams down.
Well, it's, you know, at the end of the day, you can say it, to some degree it's hard to point to, but it's also easy. And that easy part is effort. When you have guys, I think that, you know, a guy like Robert Covington, who's really been a defensive stalwart, I mean, he was obviously last year as well being first team all defensive. You add a guy like that to the mix who can also stretch the floor. And, you know, personally speaking, I talked to you about this a little bit before. He's a character guy. And when you have someone who's likable and who gels with everybody on the team, who takes a positive stance in the community, you know, really looks to embrace the environment that he's in, it's a lot of fun. You look at a guy like Saric, who can, you know, obviously stretch the floor, but at the same time provide some effort. And I think what it does is it takes pressure off some of the superstars to really perform, and you start to look at, hey, I've got my shot now. Or, you know, I see this guy giving his all, so it becomes contagious. You know, whether it's positive energy or negative energy, and again, no different than that you would see in any business environment, it's the same thing. So that contagious spirit is what they've been able to capture. And like I said, it's fun to see. So we hope to really capture some of that magic on the road. Obviously, whenever you go away from home, you've got to stay locked and focused. So looking forward to seeing the results.
John Thomas, our guest here on CCO, your flagship home for Minnesota Timberwolves basketball. He's the VP of basketball development for the T-Wolves, also played with the Gophers and the Timberwolves back in the day. John, let's talk about Andrew Wiggins. Certainly he has been a lightning rod, received a lot of criticism, but last night he really delivered a season-high 26 points, and he also had 6 rebounds, 5 assists. How can the Timberwolves get that out of Andrew on a nightly basis? Because as you know, as a professional, it's all about consistency.
Yeah, you know, and it's not so much about the Timberwolves getting it out of Andrew, it's Andrew getting it out of Andrew. It's not a mystery as to how talented he is. It's all about, you know, him being a cog in the general scope of the wheel, if you will. But he's a major cog, especially when he contributes. He's a lengthy athlete who, on any given night, can cause you problems both on the offensive and defensive end. You know, and that's the thing. And frankly, it's a lot of fun to see when he is doing what he's doing, attacking. You know, that's the part that I love, is when he attacks the rim, and he does it with such ferocity. And at the end of the day, whether he's scoring or whether he's penetrating and giving opportunities for his other teammates through kickouts, you know, for example, I remember a play he made where he attacked the rim and, you know, he hit Derek on a nice flashing cut. You know, those are the kinds of things that, you know, moreover, Andrew can contribute, but those are really, really good basketball plays as well. So certainly a lot to be optimistic about. You know, the team's playing well. It's a fun time, I think, for the organization in general. Love and appreciate how the fans are supporting everyone. It's fun basketball at the moment. At the end of the day, it ebbs and flows, right? So, you know, we just got to stick to this team, and hopefully, you know, their character can outshine, and let's see if we can make another playoff run.
And I got to believe you're having a blast right now, John. I mean, you're an organic guy when it comes to Minnesota hoops. You were a prep star at Minneapolis Roosevelt, played for the Gophers. Now you're working for the Timberwolves, played for them back in the day. And you look at your old school, the U of M. They get a big win last night over 24th-ranked Nebraska. And then the Gopher women under Lindsey Whalen. They are certainly on the rise. So these are good times, aren't they?
Yeah. You know, it's if you look at just across the board, you just mentioned, so you got Wolves. Obviously, you can't forget about what the Lynx have done throughout the course of their time. And obviously, Lindsey is a sliver of that heading over to Minnesota. So she brings her fantastic culture and essence of team spirit. And then what you see with Patino getting more comfortable within this area, I appreciated how he showed the emotion, right? Oftentimes, as people and as coaches, you kind of have to put up this veil. And obviously with Dupree's mother passing, it's important to show solidarity. It's important to show unification. And I appreciated how he showed his vulnerable side. You know, at the end of the day, we all go through tough times. We all have a story. And it's moreover, Eric, it's not so much that I look through that basketball lens. I look through how are we gelling as a community? How are we gelling as people? How are we being authentic and true to ourselves? And that's the part that I, you know, really put my thumb on and have a lot of fun with. And it's just fantastic to see.
And certainly our condolences to Dupree McBrayer losing his mom and the Nebraska Cornhuskers, a classy gesture as well last night. So a lot of people thinking about that young man. Before I let you go, John, the U of M, it looks like Joan Gabel will become the next president over there at the university. From an athletic standpoint, and you played one of the big ones, you know, major college hoops, what do you want to see a president do for the athletes?
Well, I mean, I think, you know, this kind of speaks to the larger NCAA picture in its entirety, which is, you know, I've had conversations with multiple student athletes who have left the program who they spent a lot of time on that basketball court. And when they're finished, you know, they haven't been able to muster up the real world skills that allows them to create, one, the network and develop the type of relationship, but then overall, just the skill set. So I don't know if this falls on the shoulders of the NCAA or specifically with the president, but I would say we, you know, outside of basketball, at the end of the day, of course, right? I mean, it's a wonderful thing to create and generate business. You know, that's universities do a wonderful job of that. But I want to make sure that the student athletes are prepared for life after basketball. And I would say that the same thing across all sports. You know, you're young and you have no idea what this world is about. And, you know, when you spend an inordinate amount of time, you know, playing a sport, you know, it becomes challenging because once you're finished and you don't have any discernible skill set, that you've got to kind of, you know, pick yourself up by the bootstraps again. So that would be the biggest thing, I think, is, you know, making sure that we take care of our athletes. And again, it is a monumental task. So I don't want to sugarcoat it by saying it's easy. And I'm certainly not in the position to say that. But that's the biggest thing that I see, is how are we preparing our athletes for life after the game? And I know with their new athletes village, they're doing a wonderful job, at least of providing space for that. And, you know, working with the university, I think, has been a fun opportunity. So that would be the biggest thing that I say.
And listen, nobody wants to deny a kid their dreams. If you're playing football and you want to be in the NFL, or you're playing basketball and want to be in the NBA, or hockey and want to be in the NHL, that's great. But as you know, John, you got to walk that tightrope. You can pursue those dreams, but you better have backup plan A, B, and C, correct?
Yeah, the old adage of life after the sport, I say life during the sport. You know, what is it that you're doing to prepare yourself while you're on the attention platform? And at the end of the day, when you finish, you know, your depreciated asset, which is your body, is no longer in use. And the memories that you provided for the fans and the community at large, when you no longer can do that, you become forgotten, because, you know, we're a society that's driven by what's in front of me right now. So athletes, you know, just being able to have the skill sets. We're actually, I stepped outside of our Timberwolves and Lynx holiday party, and it was great to see not only from our business staff, but also Tom Thibodeau and players like Karl Anthony Towns, Derrick Rose, Josh Okogie, you know, some key figures in here. And what they're doing is they're building relationships, and they're saying that, hey, this is a full unified effort. And, you know, it's important. You know, like I said, at the end of the day, once that ball stops bouncing, you know, the players have to recognize that, you know, what other value, you know, what other value sets can they provide outside of what they can do. So that's part of my role is in helping to facilitate and getting them to see that. But I think as a unit and as a collective, 180 staff with basketball operations, we all want the best. And then the challenge of being people and, you know, seeing things from a different perspective certainly is there, but I can only be optimistic and put my best foot forward and lean on my teammates. And, you know, pretty fortunate to be in the position. It's a lot of fun.
All right, great stuff as always, JT. We'll talk soon.
Thank you, Eric. Appreciate it.
All right, John Thomas, Timberwolves VP of Basketball Development here on CCO. Final minutes of the Thursday night edition of Sports to the Max. Eric in for Mike. CBS News at the top of the hour, then local news with Edgar Linares. He's so good, I simply call him Cronkite. And then the Al Malmberg Show coming up right here on CCO. They've reached the half in Nashville. Tennessee 16, Jacksonville 2. Derrick Henry becomes the second player in NFL history with a 99-yard touchdown run. Do you know who the other guy was? Plug your ears if you don't want to experience more purple pain.
Tony Dorsett, Dallas Cowboys against the Minnesota Vikings, way back in time at the Metrodome. So Derrick Henry joins Tony Dorsett as the only two players in the history of the Shield with a 99-yard touchdown run. So who said Jags-Titans wouldn't be exciting? They've got one for the record books there. Lots of action coming up. It will be an NFL Sunday across the USA. You've got the New York Jets and Buffalo Bills playing in Orchard Park. They are just simply jockeying for draft position. Carolina at Cleveland. Well, the Browns have four wins. Panthers have lost four in a row. They have to win that one. Atlanta at Green Bay. Suddenly, Packer tickets are not so hot anymore, are they? Indianapolis at Houston. The Texans have won nine straight. Baltimore's at Kansas City. This is a pretty good matchup. The Ravens are playing better, and the Chiefs are 10-2. New England travels to Miami. Patriots trying to wrap up another winning season and win another division in the AFC East. New Orleans at Tampa Bay. Saints 10-2. New York Giants at Washington. Boy, tough season for Washington with quarterback injuries. Colt McCoy, Alex Smith. I mean, ouch, you hate to hear about that. Cincinnati at the L.A. Chargers. Boy, the Chargers and the Rams proving that Los Angeles, once again, is a football city. Denver Broncos at San Francisco. Case Keenum and the Broncos have won three straight. They're on the fringe of the AFC wildcard picture. Detroit is at Arizona. This is a game that certainly will be a regional telecast. When they say regional, that means they're only showing it in the markets they have to. In this case, Detroit and Phoenix. Philadelphia at Dallas. I like the Cowboys, folks. What a monster win a week ago tonight when they knocked off New Orleans 13-10. Pittsburgh's at Oakland. Once upon a time, this was a vicious rivalry. Back in the 70s, they couldn't stand each other. Now the Raiders are so bad, the city of Oakland wants to see him leave for Vegas ASAP. L.A. Rams at Chicago, that's a Sunday night game. That ought to be fun. And Monday night, in a game that has huge playoff repercussions, Minnesota at Seattle. All right, we are basically out of time. It's 8:57, 12 degrees here on CCO.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.